The Bible tells us that God holds the entire universe in the palm of his hands. He is the creator of all things. But how expansive is the Lord's dominion? To answer this question and many others, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church family on yet another insightful message.
The Living Bible says, "Then God said, let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life." Say that phrase with me this morning. To be the master. Just repeat it boldly. Please. To be the master. Of all life. Upon the earth. Don't let that phrase get away from you. And in the skies and in the sea. So God made man like his maker. Like God did God make man. Man and maid did he make them. And God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. You are masters of the fish and birds and of all the animals. The other translation said he gave them dominion over everything that he had created.
Amen.
You see, that was God's original plan, and that is still his plan. That is what he desires, that we will have dominion, that we will have authority, that we will be masters of all life. That is why in life, we don't like to be dominated. We don't like to be we shouldn't be dominated by circumstances. We shouldn't be dominated by the things around us. And what happened is, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, sinned against God. And we looked at it last week. The Bible says that Eve was deceived, Adam was not. And there was a turnover. It's football season, so people understand turnover. They turned over the dominion that God had given them, the authority that God had given them in the beginning, and gave it over to the devil.
Yeah.
And since then, from that time, man began to be under the dominion of the enemy. Notice again in Genesis, in Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. He repeats the same thing in slightly different words. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. The psalmist repeats it again. Thank you, Lord. He says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." What is man that you are mindful of him, that you give him dominion, that you visit him? That's what God wanted, to visit with man, to fellowship with man. And giving him dominion over all the works of your hand. Verse 5 says, "You have made him a little lower than the angels." The Hebrew literally says, "You have made him a little lower than Elohim," which is God himself. Just a little lower than God. Think about the dominion. Think about the authority that he had in the beginning. But man sinned against God and gave up that dominion. You see, and in this life, I mean, we are in, whether you realize it or not, you are in a battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, that fight the good fight of faith. Whether you like it or not, you are in a fight. And you are either on the offensive or you are retreating. You cannot be neutral. One time, someone was going through a hard time. And he said, "It seemed like every time I overcome one situation, another one comes and takes its place. And I have to keep fighting." And so this person went to God about it. And God told them, "What is the use of armor what is the use of me giving you my armor if it's not to be used in battle? What is the use of a soldier if he's not going to be to fight?" You are either on the offensive or the retreating point. But the point is, that God gave man dominion in the beginning. God gave man authority in the beginning. And through an act of his own will, he gave it up. But the good news is, Jesus Christ came and restored that authority and restored that dominion back to us. It's like a man living on a journey and giving authority to his servants. So important for us to realize that. And the Bible says, my people, in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of who we are in Christ, of who he has made us to be, is where most of our defeats come from. We must know who God has made us to be. We must know who is in us. We must know who Jesus is, what he means to us today for us to walk in victory. We must get to the point where we do not give up in the battles of life. God wants us to know all that he has made us to be and walk in the fullness of who he has called us to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We see flashes of this authority in the Old Testament. Joshua, one time they were fighting a battle, and the sun was about to go down, and he stood up and said, "Son, stay up there. You are not going to go down till we finish this battle." And I pray, how can I get to the point where I am dominating circumstances, where I'm ruling and dominating in life, and not being the one that is being dominated? That is where God wants us to get to. But to exercise authority in this life and in this race of life, we have to realize that we are under a higher authority. We have to realize that we are under the authority of God. There was a certain man that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. He says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Verse 9. Notice this phrase. He says, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The man said, "I am also a man under authority. I recognize authority when I see it." Authority means the right to exercise power. A centurion in those days was over 100 people. And he recognized that Jesus had the authority to help him. This man came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I need healing for my son." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." This morning, if you are sick, Jesus will say the same thing to you. "I will heal you." He didn't turn anyone down that came to him, and he doesn't. But this man said, "Don't come, you don't need to come to my house. Just stay where you are and speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, "This is great faith. I've not seen such faith. Not even in Israel." He would think that you see more faith in the land of Israel. But he said, "No, I haven't seen such great faith." And he said, "Also, as you have believed, let it be unto you." But the other point there is that he said, I am a man under authority. Yeah. In James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, submit yourself to God. To exercise authority in this life, you must be submitted to God. You must come under his rule. You must come under his authority. Submit yourself to God. I am also a man under authority. And then he says, I say to this one, go. And he goes. For someone under authority, you have to get to the point where you say to circumstances, to things in your life that don't line up with God's word, I am under God's authority. Sickness, disease, fear, all these things that will endeavor to keep me in bondage, get out of my life. And then you must also learn to say, come. I am under God's authority. Let the blessings of God come into my life. Let that which God has planned for my life come into my life. Those are words we need to learn. Go and come. They are simple words, but they are very powerful. Go and come. Go and come. Go and come. Devil, you are not going to steal my family. Get out of my family in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my body is the temple of the living God. It is not meant for sickness and disease. Sickness, leave my body now in the name of Jesus Christ. I've jumped ahead of myself in this message. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Learn to say, learn to say, learn to say. Learn to say, command. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, authority is very important to Jesus. But you have to realize that the authority now in the earth is in the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. Actually, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. He says, and these signs, this is Jesus before he left. Jesus, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. It will follow who?
Those who believe.
That's exactly right. I was checking to see if you are paying attention. It will follow the pastor only. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says it will follow those who believe in my name. The authority is now in my name. They will cast out demons or exercise authority over demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They, the believing ones, will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Believe those words. These signs will follow those who believe. The authority, number one, realized is now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in Jesus, speaking to his disciples, in John chapter 14, verse 12, says, John chapter 14, are you ready for this? He says, most assuredly, John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. How is he going to do them? Verse 13. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you repeat it again. If you ask anything in my name,
amen,
I will do it.
Amen.
I will do it.
Yes.
I will do it.
Yes.
I will do it. I will do it. I will do it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The works that you've seen me do, you will do the same work. In my name. And here, the Greek word that for us is to demand. demanded in his name. You are not demanding it of God the Father, nor of Jesus. You are demanding it of the enemy that has, endeavored to keep you bound or to keep someone bound with sickness, with disease, with oppression. You are demanding in the name of Jesus that they go free.
Amen.
In the Greek, literally, it actually says, you ask me for something, and if I don't have it, I will make it for you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, that's what the apostles did in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The authority is in the name. And you have to realize that. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. This was the man, the lame man at the beautiful gate. Oh, and I could preach a whole month on that one. He's at the beautiful gate, but there is nothing beautiful about his life. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, anything in your life that doesn't reflect the glory of God, that doesn't reflect the excellency of God, that doesn't reflect his glory, the Bible says that he will beautify the meek with salvation. I pray that God will beautify that area of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout, yes!
Yeah!
I had to throw that in there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's keep going. Yeah. This man is sitting there. There's nothing beautiful about his life. He looked on them requesting for alms. But Peter and John said, Peter said in verse 6, Acts 3, 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you notice carefully, he didn't pray for the man. He demanded in the name of Jesus. That was what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 14, verse 12 and 13 and 14. Demanded in my name. Ask it in my name and I will do it. So when they demanded in the name of Jesus Christ that he rise up and walk, oh, Jesus went to ask them and give them what they asked or what they demanded. And the healing was a result. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And you can do the same thing in your life. When sickness tries to come on you, oh, demand it in the name of Jesus, that sickness leave my body now. And it has to obey. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We can use the name like that, or we can also use the name like Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 23. John chapter 16, verse 23. That is now using the name in prayer. It's so important for you to know the difference, for us to know the difference. John chapter 16, verse 23 says, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. That is talking about prayer now. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. The Father, that name is recognized in all three worlds, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. You use that name in prayer. The Father will recognize that name with joy, and he will give you what you ask for. And in the name of Jesus, he says, your joy may be full. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, any area of your life that you are not full of joy, as you use that name in prayer, may you receive answers. And as you receive answers to those prayers, in the mighty name of Jesus, may your joy be full. If that's you, say a big amen this morning.
Amen.
Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Yes.
The authority is known in the name of Jesus. But it doesn't just work. We need to have a revelation of that. We need to not just know it in our head, but know it in our heart. And that's why we are going through all these lessons. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, 16. Ephesians 1, 16. Thank you, Lord. This is the prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying for the church. And you should pray this prayer for yourself as well. Thank you, Lord. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. And notice the phrase, and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, another translation says, the eyes of your heart, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, I'm not disconnected. I know I'm still on. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fails all in all. This passage of scripture is very loaded. He is praying for them that their heart will be filled with the revelation. The key to walking in authority, the key to walking in dominion is right in here. That the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you will know what God did in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What he did, the power, the same power, the greatness of his power that was exercised in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's now saying that it's all been wrapped up and put in the name. Oh, when you get a revelation of this. And verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, according to the mighty working of his power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. That name is above every other name. That name is above every circumstance. That name is above disease. That name is above what you are faced with, or may be faced with. It's above all principality. He's seated far above principality and power and might and dominion. Everything. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Realize that you are a member of the body of Christ. Everything has been placed under his feet. And if you are part of the body of Christ, oh, you are also in a place and in a position where you are seated with Christ far above all these principalities and power. You see, he's writing a letter. And so when he gets to chapter 2, verse 6, he's repeating the same thing he says, and now, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is that place? Oh, my Lord and my God. You are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And that place, in verse 21, he said, is far above. All principality, all power, all dominion, everything that is named in this world, realize that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places far above.
Amen.
Ma, 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 ma. my. So when he gets to Ephesians chapter 6, and where he was talking about the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, he had already told them in chapter 1, that in chapter 2, that you are seated far above the things that you have to wrestle with in this life. In the mighty name of Jesus, that is why the enemy doesn't have to exercise dominion over you in any area of your life, because from God's standpoint, you are seated far above. When you get the revelation of that, the enemy will not play around with you anymore. He will realize that you have seen the light, you have seen the revelation of it, that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is the head. We are the body. How much authority is not here in the earth? The authority in the earth has to be exercised through his body. So we have to be conscious of that and walk in the fullness of it. And not back away from the enemy. Don't let him steal from you. Don't let him steal your family. Don't let him steal your finances. Don't let him steal your joy. Don't let him steal your peace. No, I am not I'm not a candidate to be stolen from. Because I know who I am. I know who he has made me to be. Oh, where are you seated this morning? Positional. You are seated far above. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, with the revelation of this, in Jesus' mighty name, any area of your life that the enemy is harassing you, may it come to an end this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of our Lord. Oh, glory be to the name of our Lord. Realize that. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. He says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He starts talking about serpents and scorpions. He winds up talking about over all. How many? All means all. Settle that in your heart. If you see all in the Bible, it means all. All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is God's plan and purpose for your life. Over all the power of the enemy. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Thank you, Lord. He says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out. Now, the Son of Righteousness, notice it's S-U-N, Son. It's not S-O-N. The Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ. And the Son gives light. The glory of Jesus Christ is now in you. Let's read on. And now he says, and you shall go out with that, with healing in his wings now made available to you. You shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed cows. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet. Remember, you are in the body of Christ. All things have been placed under your feet. And with that, knowing that Jesus Christ now lives in you, with his glory, with his power, in the person of the Holy Spirit, with his glory, you shall go forth. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Or like he says here, you will trump the wicked, and there shall be ashes under the sole of your feet. Oh, you are no longer the one being dominated, but you are the one dominated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that this will become revelation to you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What areas Do we need, can we exercise authority? Let's look at a number of them this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6. What areas of our lives can we exercise authority? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, notice that phrase, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The mind is one area where we can exercise authority. You see, the enemy can put thoughts in our mind. And sometimes those can be thoughts of defeat. Those can be thoughts of failure.
Yeah.
Those can be thoughts of discouragement. Those can be thoughts that come against God's word, saying that this situation that you are faced with, God won't deliver you. There is no way out for you. You won't be healed this time. You won't have the finances this time. Your business will not do well this time. Your family is not going to make it this time. All the lies of the enemy, when those thoughts come into your mind, he says, put those thoughts in captivity. Put those thoughts in prison. Use the words of your mouth and say, devil, I will not think your thoughts after you. I will think God's thoughts after him. I have the mind of Christ. My family will be delivered. I will receive my healing this time. I will overcome this battle this time. I will not be defeated. I will succeed. In the mighty name of Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will not be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus. Put those thoughts into captivity. Bring down every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or against the word of God. That is an area. It's an area. The devil cannot take any place in you except to get through your mind. No, you said no. I have the mind of Christ. I will think God's thoughts after him. That's one area. Thank you, Lord. Number two, we have to take authority over our emotions. It's so important for us to realize that. Sometimes the flesh will want to do whatever it likes. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I like how he puts it in the Amplified Version. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. You see, anger is an area where all of us have to be careful. God gets angry and we get angry too. It's just part of our makeup. Sometimes, but literally what he's saying is, when the enemy provokes you to be angry, or when you become angry, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He says, leave no such room. By going to bed with that anger, you are leaving room for the enemy to gain a foothold over your life. You see, the devil cannot take any room in you except what you give him. Leave no such room for the enemy. Take control over your emotions. Don't let them take authority over it. Don't let it dominate you. You dominate.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. When you get angry at the kids or anyone, your employer, whoever, Don't go to bed with it, is what he's saying. Take control over your emotions. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We'll continue here. Number three, you have to take authority over your body. So important for us to realize that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll start from verse 26. 9:26. He says, I'm taking my time to go through these things because he says, on the other point, let's keep going. Over your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Notice what the Bible says. He says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I discipline my body. You see, man, you are primarily a spirit being. And you have to realize that you are a spirit being primarily. When you die, your spirit man will live and go to be with Christ. This body here, when you became born again, was still the same. Your mind also was still the same. What needs to happen for you to develop and grow up as a Christian is, number one, for the mind to be renewed. So that's what he talks about. I'll come back to this. But that's what he talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, starting from verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice he's saying the same thing he said to the Corinthians. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your body to God, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the body which is still the same will still want to go. You see, you can't blame everything on the devil. We have a responsibility here. We are the ones that are supposed to present our bodies to God. We are the ones that are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to change the way that we think. We have to yield our body to God. God will help us to do it, but we are the ones that have to take responsibility here. So if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Verse 26, this great apostle, since I run not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as the one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. Notice that he doesn't call his body I. The body is not him. The body is not I. The real person is the one on the inside. That is the one that has to take dominance over the mind and over the body. If that doesn't continue, the person will still remain in the babyhood state of Christianity. This great apostle says he's not going to let his body dominate him. He's going to take authority over that body and bring it under subjection. Bring it under subjection. Bring it into subjection. One way you can let your spirit man be in charge is when you decide to skip a couple of meals and fast and pray and seek God's face. At that point, your spirit man becomes more active. But he also saying that I discipline the body. I'm going to let the real person on the inside rule and dominate and exercise authority over this body. Yes. Bring it in line. That includes every faculty of our body, including our mouth, including our eyes, our hands, everything is now yielded to the real person. I discipline my body. The body is not I. The body is just the house that you live in. When you die, the real person will leave. That is the I. That is the real person. But he's saying that I will let that person be the dominant one. That's so important for us to realize that. He says something similar to the Colossians and to the Ephesians as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. I like to preach, but I also like to teach because we need a teaching. He says, and that, notice what he says. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind. And that you put on, who is supposed to put on the new man? You. The responsibility is on you. Put on the new man. Put him on. Let him dominate the body. Let him dominate your mind. Put him on. You see, the new man is on the inside. You were created in righteousness. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Everything has now become new. But put on the new man. Put him on. I discipline my body. Put on the new man. The new man has the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit in there. Love, joy, peace, and all that he talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But you put him on. Let him be the dominant one. Notice again, he says in Galatians chapter 5, in Colossians chapter 3, he repeats the same thing. Every time he writes to these churches, there's a common theme that he wants all of them to get. This is one of them. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off, it's like clothes, you have put off the old man with his deeds. And verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Yes.
Have done what? Put on. You've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. It's so important for us to take authority over our minds and over our body. Those three have to line up. Those two have to line up and conform to what is on the inside of us. So important for us to realize that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then number four, we rule or exercise authority, or we reign in life. We reign in life. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Rule and reign in life. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more. Every time I see that phrase in the Bible, it does something to me. Much more. Those who receive abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Amplified says, reign as kings. Romans chapter 5. Let me read it from the Amplified. Romans chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, thank you, Lord. He says, for if because of one man's trespass, that's what Adam did in the beginning, lust, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Reign as kings in life. A king has a domain. A king has an area of influence. Those of us who have received the abundance of grace, number one, and number two, the gift of righteousness, will do what? Reign. Reign. That's a term of dominion. That's a term of authority. Reign in life. No matter what comes up against me, in the mighty name of Jesus, I will be above and not beneath. One time, one person said to a preacher, he met him and he asked him, how are you doing? He says, I am under the circumstances. He said, don't get under it. What are you doing under the circumstances? Get up from underneath it. And get on top of the situation. You reign in life as kings. You reign in life as kings. You reign in life as kings. And you refuse to be entangled with any yoke of bondage. Jesus has set you free. You are free indeed. You will not remain in captivity. This morning, my prayer is that you will walk in the fullness of all that God has provided for your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I just quoted it, but see it in your own Bible. See there. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. Stand your ground. In the mighty name of Jesus, any area of your life this morning that is in captivity, that is in bondage, I speak the word of God. I speak your liberty. I speak your freedom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Exercising dominion is not an option. You are either the dominated or you are the one dominated. Stand fast in the liberty that Jesus has made you free. Stand fast in the liberty and refuse to be entangled with any yoke or bondage. And the Bible says the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Isaiah 10 to 27. And in Genesis chapter 27 verse 40, talking about Esau, when Jacob was trying to consolate him because he had lost the blessing, he says, "By your sword you shall live. By your sword you shall live, and shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you shall have the dominion, then you shall break his yoke from off your neck." Then you shall break his yoke off your neck. You are either under a yoke of bondage and being dominated, or you get to the point, oh, where you say, enough is enough. Devil, enough of you stealing from me. Enough of you keeping me in captivity, in my health, and in my family, and in any area of my life. I stand in the liberty. If Jesus Christ has made me free, I am free indeed. Lord, take your hands off of my body. You will not keep me in captivity, in my health anymore. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. When you shall have the dominion, you will break his bondage off your neck. Do not be entangled with any yoke of bondage. This morning, in any area of your life where it seems like you are in captivity, in Jesus' mighty name, receive your liberty. Receive your freedom. Receive your liberty. Receive your freedom now. In Jesus' mighty name, every harassment of the devil on your mind, in Jesus' mighty name, comes to an end. Every harassment of the enemy in any area of your life comes to an end. In Jesus' mighty name, you are a free person. You refuse to be entangled. You refuse to be in bondage. Jesus Christ is the one that you serve. He's the one that you are yielded to. No more captivity. No more captivity. No more captivity. I see somebody this morning. You are going free. You are going free. When the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Every area of sorrow in your life, may God turn it to laughter. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you walk in the freedom and in the liberty that Jesus Christ has made you free. If you believe that, say aloud amen this morning.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. This is your time. This is your season.
Amen.
Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Does this help us?
Yes.
When Paul and Silas were in captivity, they refused to remain there. They were put into prison, but they were not in prison. We are not going to stay in this prison and die. They turned on their praises, and God responded with an earthquake. Shook that prison. Let my people go. Let them be free so that they can go and serve me. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you realize who you has made you to be and walk in liberty, walk in freedom in any area of your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray this morning before we go that anything, thank you, Lord, that keeps you from God's very best, talk to the Lord about it. Any area of your life that is not whole, in the mighty name of Jesus, talk to God. Receive your liberty, receive your freedom. Lift up your voice and talk to him this morning. Thank God for the revelation of his word. I pray I pray the same prayer that he prayed for the church at Ephesus, that you will be filled with the knowledge and the revelation of his word. Talk to God this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Word Mission Church International. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning service. Word Mission Church International is located off of Edison Avenue at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. For more messages like this, be sure to visit our website at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. If you are in need of a Bible, stop by our church at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll be glad to bless you with a new Bible. If this message was a blessing and the Lord leads you to partner with us in spreading God's Word, simply text the word GIVE to 719-215-8338. For a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, give to 719-215-8338. Remember to visit the website, www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. Also, let us know how this message was a blessing and how we can help further. Stay blessed. Word Mission Church International. Bible-rich sermons, authentic fellowship.